St. John, the 8th chapter. If you have a copy of God's word, John, the 8th chapter, verses 44 through 46. St. John, the 8th chapter, 44 through 46. The Bible reads, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abhorred not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinced me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? May the Lord add a blessing for those that follow and do his will.
Amen. Amen. Luke 24:19. What things, he asked? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. May we see. Once again, good morning, congregation. It's good for us to be here. And it's good to see you out there, y'all, looking good today. Not that you don't look good on any given Sunday. You look good today. Amen. You know, one thing growing up that was instilled in me from my mother, who's just turned 83 on last week, was something about lying. You just couldn't tell her a lie. She always knew if you did, so we dare not cross that. We just didn't do it. But one thing that was amazing about my mother, and I always tell her that all the time, she told us never to lie, but she never taught us how to recognize a lie. That is a big difference. And if we as Christians are of the truth, we must know the truth. Because John said in John 8:32 that you will know that truth. That truth is going to set you free. But you can't know that truth if you don't know how to recognize her. Amen? Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. The lesson this morning is pretty, you know, it's a pretty simple lesson, at least it is to me. It goes deep into my soul, and hopefully it'll go deep into your soul as well. And I titled this lesson, for no other reason, Three Lies Plus One. It's not four lies, it's only three lies we're going to look at, but the plus one, you'll find out, is pretty interesting as well. Amen. So in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, 1 through 2, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus says that God cannot lie. And his words are always consistent with his nature. And because God cannot lie, we have strong encouragement and a hope of eternal life, which he promised to those of us that are faithful. Not lying. Hebrews chapter 6, the Hebrew writer says in verses 17 through 18, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, one have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And here's one we've heard over and over and over again, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4. God forbid, let God be true. but every man a liar, as it is written, let our God be true. Familiar verses. We need to allow these words of God to not only be close by us, but to be in us as well. We want to go over the book of 1 John today for those first three lines. Is we familiar with those following verses, but we read over them all the time and we hold them close to us. So I wanted today somehow unpack these verses. So not only are those verses going to be close to us, they can live in us and give us a lifestyle that God could be pleased with. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Lie number one, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. It's a parallel to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 4 where it says, he that says I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Line number one says, if we claim to have fellowship with God but walk in darkness, John says that we are. It's line number one. And since the scriptures is God's word, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for works of righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect. Ain't no lie, get in there. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Since the scriptures is God's words, this means that this is God that's calling you a liar. Amen. If I called you a liar, it doesn't mean that it would make you one. But if God calls you a liar, and God cannot lie, that means, amen, you might as well take your medicine. Because that's what you are. If God calls you a liar, that's what you are. And God makes no mistakes about that. You know, we even our lives called people some lies before, and we wasn't right about that. We were calling them lies simply because we probably had something against them. But God doesn't have anything against us except the sin that we commit, and he doesn't want us to commit that any longer in our lives at all. God makes no mistakes. So our lifestyle, our walk is a walk. It's a lifestyle that has no reference to time when it comes to serving God. And we look at the word darkness in that scripture, and it refers to sin, which is a way of life as well, whether it's moral or spiritual darkness. John says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So there is no sin with God at all. I want to tell you that the darkness in verse number 6 is the same as the darkness in verse number 5. And the light of verse number 7 is the same as the light in verse number 5. And this suggests that only the sinless can have fellowship with God. And when you look at verses 8 through 10, it may seem to contradict those verses, which tell us that we're sinners. But that's not so. So John goes on to show us that this sinfulness can be changed. It's changed, verse number 7, by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But only the condition that we confess those sins, can the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from those sins. Christ then becomes a propitiation for our sins, and he is our advocate with the Father. But it still remains that in order to have fellowship with God, we must get rid of our sins. Because there's no darkness at all with the Father. When this is done, when we decide to get rid of our sins, the door of fellowship with God is left open. So we've got to make up our minds where we want to dwell, in darkness or in light with the Father. We want the door open, we want the door to be shut. Here's what John says. He says, if you claim to have fellowship with God and have not done the necessary things to remove your sins or remove yourself from sin, John says that you are a, gotta take your medicine. You're a liar. In Revelation 21:8 says, all liars are going to have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Slide number one, claiming to have fellowship with God and walking in darkness. It's a lifestyle of a lie. Here comes lie number two. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20. 1 John 2 and verse number 20. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know that not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denied that Jesus is the Christ? He's Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. Whosoever denied the Son, the same had not the Father, but he that denies the Son has the Father also. Here comes lie number two. 1 John 2:2 says, whoever is a liar is the one that denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know the world denounces Christ every time we turn around. You try to deny that Christ is the Son of God. Keep in mind again that Brother Collins is not calling anybody a liar. This is God that's calling them out. He's calling them a liar. John has already said, no lie is of the truth. And since God's word is true, John 17:17, this amounts to a denial of God's word blatantly in the face of God. Calling God a lie to his face because we're saying that his son, Jesus Christ, is not the one that was called. Further, it amounts to denial of the divine sonship of Jesus Christ. And if we deny Jesus Christ, we deny the Father as well. We deny God himself. You see, the Gnostics believed that Jesus existed, but they denied certain divine attributes of the Christ. Matthew 1:23 argues that Jesus was God with us. He was Emmanuel. And if Jesus was God with us, he possesses the attributes of God, and if he didn't otherwise, he cannot be God with us. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, it is said that Jesus taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. The scribes taught with delegated authority and that from their own priestly officials. They taught their traditions, their opinions, and rabbinical teachings. But on the other hand, Jesus, who is the truth, he taught with intent authority, and he taught the words of his Father only. And being all wise and knowing that, the psalmist says, forever, O Lord, 119:89, thy word is settled in heaven. Knowing that God's word is already settled in heaven, Jesus can cut through traditions and teachings of men and says, this is it. This is the truth that comes from my Father, and there is no lie in it. This is it. So the lifestyle of Jesus in both matter of life and in the manner of his life proved himself to be the divine Son of God, the promised Messiah. And if you or I, and if the world makes Jesus Christ anything less, John says, I make myself out to be a, we don't want to say it. We can call somebody, but we don't want to say it, huh? It can't be me. John says, I make myself a liar, and all liars are going to have their part that burn the lake with fire and brimstone. You see, lying is something that's cavalier today. People don't, they just take it for granted, because the adage goes, every time you open up your mouth, you're what? All right, then, you're telling a lie. 1 John chapter 4 is the next lie. That's lie number 3. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he had seen, how can he love God, whom he had not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Lie number 3. John says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. So if I claim to love God and hate a brother, I'm not telling the truth. I'm a liar. So you got to think about who you hating in here today or who you hating on. Especially if you say you love God. If you love God and hate your brother, then if you want to be a liar, then so be it. Because that's what God says you are. In verse 19, we read, we love him because he first loved us. But this is, in reference to God's love for us. And who could deny that? We love God because God first loved us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, you don't have to die, but you can have everlasting life. But however, I want you to look at this really good, because we're going to unpack this. This is not true when it comes to loving our brother. We ought to love our brother whether he loves us or not. You see the difference? We love God because God first loved us. But we love our brother, whether he loves us. We love our wives, whether they love us. We love our husbands, whether they love us. We love our children, whether they're rebels or not down the streets. And we say it has nothing to do with God. And people make up all these terms when it comes to philosophy. Oh, we just need a little tough love. Ain't no such thing as that. You're not going to find tough love in the scripture. Love is love. And love covers a multitude of sins. We love our brother whether he loves us. You get that? So now you got to start deciding whether you love somebody or not. And if you're telling a lie, that you love God. In John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus gave the world the right to judge us as Christians. He says, they will know that you are my disciples by the what? By the love that you have. Isn't that something? Whether they love you or not, if the world looks at you and you have the love for the brother inside of you, they're going to know that you belong to God. Unless there's just some kind of false pretense going on. Unless you're just making up a lie, like sometimes you come to church, just got through fussing with your wife and you're holding hands. Coming up and look, I'm Graham, say, coming up and yeah, with that. Anything to do with love? Is it? Listen, when we talk about love, and we talk about God, we understand that love always does what is best for the object of that loved. Isn't that right? But our love, sometimes it just appears to be so cruel. I love you, but God doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say it. And he will never say it because God cannot lie. I cannot lie. Or we let that come out of our mouth real quick. I love you. Lying down. Because love always does what's best. Always does. Always does what's best. Man's love, he goes upward towards God. Man's love goes outward towards his friends. When it comes to our enemies, our love goes downward towards our enemies. But those are the ones that needs to be built up, amen? He says, love your enemies. Your enemies don't love you, but you need to love them. Why? Because you say you love me. You know what's incredible about the way that God teaches us? If we can love somebody who's against us, think about all the people that's with us that we can love. Boy, isn't that a multitude of them? And we don't love them this much or this much or this much. We love them like Christ loved them. We love them. We stretch out on the cross with our love. And we give our lives because of our love. And we forgive them because of our love. And it has nothing to do whether they love us or not. Amen? I need you to hear this now. John, 1 John 4:21. And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also as well, just as much too. Amen? That's it in a nutshell. That's where the rubber meets the road. We are commanded to love one another. And that's line number three, isn't it? And if I fail to do so and claim to love God, John says I can't hear you. She allowed me at a football game. And once again, all liars are going to have their part that burn with fire and brimstone. It's a lake, you see. As I unpack these scriptures, and I've read them over and over and over again in my lifetime as a Christian, as I unpack these scriptures, I understand that John is saying that there is no evil in God at all, none. He's saying that those who have fellowship with God do not knowingly live their lives in evil. We don't do that. That's not our lifestyle. He says if we claim to walk with God and knowingly live our lives for evil, we're lying. We don't practice the truth. It's simple. If we commit ourselves to living our lives in God's light, two things are going to occur in our lives. The one, we're going to have fellowship with God and with who else? With other Christians. That's right. And he says also that the blood of Christ will continue to cleanse us from all of our sins. But if we claim that there's no evil in our lives, and some people do, and those who claim that there's no evil in our lives, that means they don't need any forgiveness from God. They don't need it. If you claim that you don't have any sin or evil in your life, then there's no need for forgiveness for you. But you're living a lie. You're living in darkness. You're walking in sin. And you're self-deceived, and God's truth is not in you. There's no truth in you at all. If we confess the evil that we realize that's in us, God's going to do two things. You know, for the longest, we always talk about sins of commission and sins of what? Omission. Here's what God's going to do for you. If we confess our evil and realize that there's evil that lives within us, that darkness that's inside of us, God is going to do two things for us. He's going to forgive us of the evil that we realize and confess, and he's also going to cleanse us of all the evil we commit, but we don't even realize. Because his blood continually cleanses us from all of our sins, those realized and those unrealized, because it doesn't have to do anything with whether we love our brother or not. It has all to do with whether we love God and our brother together. Gotta stop lying. If we claim we've committed no evil, we make God to be a liar and his word is not in us. What incredible promises that is from God. When I look at it, it's incredible for me to realize that God gives us promises that he keeps because he cannot lie. John wants us to understand that Jesus' cleansing blood doesn't stop flowing through our lives just after we baptize. Baptism begins a flow of that cleansing blood, and that's atoning blood that continues to flow in our lives and cleanses us from the evil that occurs in us moment by moment, minute by minute. Cleanses us. Here's what David had to say in Psalm 116. Listen to this. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted, and in my haste I have said, all men are liars. All men. So if all men are liars, where does that leave God? I'll tell you where it leaves him. In Numbers 23, when Balaam was speaking to Balak about cursing and blessing those Israelites, this is what he said in Numbers 23:19. He says, God is not man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. He had said, shall he not do it? Or had he spoken and shall not make good on the things that he said? God is not man that he should lie. What if God was a liar? Where would we be if God was a liar? What if God told as many lies as we told? What if he just told one? What if he says, you know what, I'm sending my son to die for you, and we still out there just, well, where is he at, God? We all dying. We need some. What if God told us just one lie? Where would we be? So why do we tell God one lie, and when we tell that lie, where are we then? We're not walking in the light. We're not walking in fellowship. Our lifestyle is that of a lie, and we're living it. And we're perpetuating it, and we're speaking it, and we're breathing it. Everything about us is a lie. God is not man that he should lie. We should think about that for a second. If God tells us lies, where are we now? Where will we be? Let me tell you something. When you call somebody a liar, that's fighting words. Amen? What you call me? You don't have to curse nobody else. Just call them a liar and see where that gets you. So as a Christian, I've got to accept the responsibility of the truth. That's what I've got to do. I must honestly accept the fact that evil is going to always occur in my life. I must honestly commit myself to living in God's light by studying and learning and understanding his word that gives me life, because it's the truth. I must honestly accept the responsibility to confess to God the evil I commit when I realize that the evil has occurred. But we just say, uh-oh, and we want to change all that repentance. Oh, you know, I think I erred. Say it. I'm lying to yourself. Say it. I've sinned and fell short of the glory of God. I need God to forgive me of my sins. Say it. Accept your responsibility. Confess that evil to God. I must honestly accept the responsibility to maintain fellowship with you and you and you. And you've got to accept the responsibility to maintain fellowship with me. If we don't, that means we are lying. And finally, if I, as a Christian, if I pretend that I do not commit any evil, or that I don't need God for forgiveness, I become a self-deceived liar who doesn't practice the truth, and God's word does not live in me. Doesn't live in me. So Peter talks to the Jews of dispersion in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, and this is what he says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. The Lord don't lie like some men lie. When God makes a promise, he makes it, and man makes a promise and he lies about it. But God is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is faithful and righteous. If he wasn't, I would surmise that you wouldn't be sitting here this morning, but we know that God is faithful. We know that he delivers. We know that he is righteous. He's faithful and righteous, and we should trust him, because without fail, God keeps his promises. He cannot lie. He cannot deceive. He always, without fail, does what he says that he will do. What about you? What about you? Here's a question I have for you today. Will you stop lying and respond to his word? That's the plus one. Three lies plus one, that's the plus one. We got to stop lying to ourselves about where we are in our spiritual lives. And we've got to be truthful to ourselves because we can't lie to God. Step out away from the darkness into a lifestyle of truth in Christ Jesus. And be crucified in Christ and let Christ live in you. Don't be the one that's living within yourself. Step outside of that darkness, that boundary that surrounds you, that's keeping you from doing what God has called you to do. Step out of the lie and live. Respond to God's word. Respond to it. You know what his word says? It says in Ephesians 2:8, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's nothing that you can do about it. You didn't generate it. It's a gift that comes from God. Step out of the lie and receive the gift of life. We got to hear God's word, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. You got to make up your mind what you're going to do when you hear it. You got to believe that Jesus the Christ is the Son of the true and living God. And this is the commandment that we have, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We got to repent of our sins. You know, Matthew chapter 9, Jesus looked at the crowd. And he says, but I need you to go and learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I've come to call, not to call those that are righteous. I didn't come here for all these churchy people. I didn't come here for all those religious folks. I've come to, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And whether you're in the church or out the church, you still need repentance. Whether you're in the church or out the church, you still need the truth of God's word. You need it. And whether you're in the church or out the church, you still can become a liar. We got to confess Christ. Hereby we know that the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses Jesus come in the flesh, is of God. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. We've got to confess Christ. We've got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Because that's where we contact the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us up from all of our sins. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even though we should walk in the newness of life, not in darkness. Our lifestyle changes. We walk anew now in the newness of life with Christ. We don't walk amongst those that are liars. We walk amongst those that are of the truth. So you got to make up your mind what you want to do. That's three lies, John said. And the plus one is a lie that you have to take responsibility of and repent of, because it's a lie that you're telling yourself. And if you ever want to go to heaven, you're not going on the strength of your own ability. You're going because God kept his promise and sent Jesus Christ, his son, to save our souls. You're going to heaven because God said that you can have an opportunity to do so. He gives you an opportunity today to stop sitting on your thumbs and allowing Satan to continue to lie to you over and over and over again. He appeared with that lie in the garden. The truth was all in the Garden of Eden. And here comes the darkness into the garden. And the lie spilled over. And death came as a result of that. You don't have to die. You can accept the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the truth that Jesus Christ, he died, was buried, and the third day he rose again and appeared 40 days after. And you can appear before the throne of God right now if you will stand and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and be received in the kingdom of God, which is the church. Don't be a coward, because cowards are going to burn in the lake of fire as well. Cowards and lies. Look at the scripture. Don't be a coward. Don't allow Satan to sit there and tell you the same lie that he told Eve. Get up and respond to the gospel. Because all men are liars. And we can help you to be of the truth. Once it comes, we stand and sing his invitation song.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.